If I may, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Certainly.
Your Honor, Mr. Staton's injury was not the expected result of the violation of work restrictions. Now, it's undisputed that my client, Charles Staton, injured his left knee on February 18, 2014, while working for the Apelli Brothers Signal. It's also
That's the question I'm going to ask your opposing counsel. Is medical advice a work restriction?
It is not. And the reason being, we have many scenarios in which doctors will advise their clients of certain things. They'll advise them to change their diet. They'll advise them to lose weight. That doesn't rise to the level of a restriction. The issue before the Court of Appeals, the single issue before the court today, is whether or not the advice that was given to Mr. Staton in the 1980s was sufficient to create a work restriction such as would preclude him from maintaining a compensable injury before the commission in 2014. Our position is it would not.
Let me ask you another question. What actually caused his injury? Apparently he stepped in, it's been described as a mud hole or quicksand. Was it uneven ground that caused his injury?
No. Your Honor, our position would be that after coming down from the uneven ground, Mr. Staton was walking across a terrain and inadvertently stepped into a mud hole, which caused his knee to buckle and caused the injury in question. So the issue is a mixed issue of law and fact, whether or not an injury by accident arises out of it in the course of the employment. And it would be our position that, A, there's no credible evidence to support the commission's findings that Mr. Staton was under work restrictions at the time of the injury, and B, that they misapplied the law as far as the Salehi case to the facts of that were in evidence. Now, there's also no dispute that Mr. Staton had a significant pre-existing condition of the knee and had had treatment in the past and multiple surgeries. But as this court is well aware, the employer takes the employee as they find him.
And let me stop you and follow up on Judge Haley's question. As I understand this record, and I understand about the uneven ground and the he's stepping across a ditch and it's muddy and his foot got stuck in the mud, essentially. But I think the significant thing for me, or at least it became significant after Judge Haley just asked this question, was he testified he felt his knee pop while he was attempting to pull his leg out. So that suggests to me that the injury occurred as not while he's walking per se, but while he's trying to extricate himself from his leg being, in effect, trapped in the mud.
Correct. And either way, whether the leg, the mechanism of injury occurred when he stepped into the mud puddle or whether he was trying to extricate himself into the mud puddle, the mechanism of actually stepping into the mud, I think, is what is significant in the context of the fact that there was no violation of the restriction, that any recommendation that his doctor had made previously. That would be our position.
I'm trying to narrow this down.
Sure.
For both counsel. Assuming for argument's sake that this history of medical advice, medical caution, whatever it is the equivalent of a work restriction, does a work restriction have to be communicated to the employer?
To the employer or to the injured worker?
To the employer.
Our position would be that what controls this is in part the fact that the claimant was asked repeatedly by Mr. Burkhold at the hearing of this matter whether or not he was aware of the restrictions that he was under. And he repeatedly denied that he was aware of these restrictions. He went through the medical history with him. It's in the appendix, a copy of the transcript. And my question then becomes, if you're not aware that you're under these recommendations, how can you violate them? Now, as far as whether or not the employee must...
Well, he has to be aware. He was advised to walk on uneven ground.
He was aware when the medical record was presented to him that that's what the doctor had said. But in terms of whether he could recall something, it had happened 20 years previously. He indicated that he had no recollection of having that conversation.
I'm not sure you're answering Judge Haley's question, so let me repeat his question for it, because I'd like to hear the answer as well. Assuming that a doctor communicates to a patient who happens to be an employee somewhere that they have, that they're to avoid certain types of activity, is there any legal obligation vis-a-vis the workers' compensation laws in the state that restriction, if you will, be communicated to the employer so that they can try to accommodate?
No, there's not.
Okay.
There's not. And so what we're looking at here is, does this case fit squarely within the law established by this court in the matter of Carpet Palace versus Salehi? Now, in that case, the court carved out a very narrow exception to the rule that the employer takes the employee as they find him. And the concept is as simple as this. If Mr. Staten's leg was about to fall off, and this injury causes it, you know, the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, then the employer would be responsible for reattaching it. So the exception is, in Salehi, this court said that if the claimant were to violate ongoing medical restrictions and that violation resulted in an injury, then that injury is not unexpected. And that is essentially the law that the Supreme Court handed down in the matter of Reserve Life versus Hosey. For an accident to be an event which is compensable, it must be unexpected. So the commission applied those facts and that case to the law in this matter and determined that the recommendations that had been given to Mr. Staten in the past to not work on unlevel terrain were equivalent to the restrictions that were given to Mr. Salehi. Do not lift anything in excess of 25 pounds.
What is your response? Well, and he admitted I raised 50 pounds.
Correct.
So they admitted it was a restriction, admitted he violated it.
And he admitted that he knew that violating that restriction would result in an injury because it had happened previously.
How do you respond to the employer's argument from Carpet Palace that an injury by accident must be unexpected to be compensatable?
I agree. That's the law. And it's our position that that there was no expectation when Mr. Staten took that step that he was going to step into a mud hole and injure himself. That's the unexpected part of it. It's a situation where in Salehi you have some very key admissions by the injured worker, by the claimant in that case. You have an admission of knowledge of the restrictions. You have an admission of what the restrictions were and that he was in violation of the restrictions. And you even have an admission stating that he knew that by violating those restrictions, he was putting himself in harm's way. There is nothing in this case, no admissions on the part of the claimant as to knowledge of his restrictions.
But wouldn't that be a credibility? In other words, the claimant could say, no, I don't remember that or whatever. But if you can show through medical records that you repeatedly got that advice, why can't the commission just make the finding? I just don't believe that. In fact, I think you did get that advice, and I think you heard it, and you digested it.
Well, that is what the commission did. They essentially imputed the findings of the doctor or the recommendations of the doctor on the claimant. My point is that as a matter of law, a doctor saying, even if we were to assume that Mr. Staten was aware that he was not to walk on unlevel terrain, number one, that's not what caused his accident. Number two, that recommendation is not legally the same as a restriction that was imposed on the claimant in Salehi. You know, as we indicated.
So really, I mean, it's kind of a red herring, this business of awareness or not. In this case.
I'm not so sure it is. Awareness of the restrictions could very well be. If the court finds that the recommendations are not restrictions, then yes, that awareness issue goes out. With respect to awareness in the sense of an expectation of injury, I think it's very important. I think the mental state or the frame of mind of the claimant going in and walking across that area with the expectation that his next step could result in injury, I don't think that that's what this court intended when they found the matter in Salehi. Now, the words that are used by the commission themselves are very, very critical. If you look on pages 307, 308, the commission repeatedly uses the words recommendation. They don't use the word restriction. So recommendation is not my word. It's actually the words that the commission used. And again, I would repeat that in this situation, a recommendation is not the same as a work restriction. Dr. Dart did not say to Mr. Staten shortly before this accident, you are not to walk on unlevel terrain. He didn't provide him with a slip limiting him to any type of specific activity. He simply wrote in his medical records from 20 years previous, this is what I recommend that you should do. This is what you should consider doing. There's no indication that those restrictions were in place at the time of the accident, and there's no indication that Mr. Staten knowingly violated those restrictions on that date. Now, in the Salehi case, this court...
Are you aware of any case, and I have looked hard, any commission opinion that addresses the question, is medical advice the equivalent of a restriction?
Yes, Your Honor. Let me give you that quote. One moment.
See if it's one of the ones I got.
The matter of Wong versus New View Electrical.
Bear with me, please.
Sure. It's on page 313 of the appendix on the second paragraph from the bottom.
Oh.
And that's a matter where the commission held that a claim was not barred because they found that the physician's recommendations were advisory and not prohibitory. And that's precisely the reasoning that I'm applying here.
You give me that site.
Sure.
I don't have. I got stacks of research.
Yeah. It is VWC file number 191-52-36. Wong versus New View Electrical.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, in Salehi, the court wrote that the injured worker's injury was, and I quote, the predictable consequence of claimant's voluntary defiance of the lifting restriction. So if we take that piece by piece, what we're looking at is an injury which is likely to happen. It's predictable. It's done by a voluntary defiance, not an involuntary action or an accidental injury is what happened here. And again, the word restriction is key and comes up again. So when you contrast that with the admission in that case with the claimant lifted something in excess of restrictions he was aware of, you don't have that same similar pattern in this case. Neither the commission nor this court can presume ongoing disability, and that's precisely what the commission did in finding that these restrictions that had been applied to Mr. Staten in the 1980s were in effect still binding upon him when he had this injury. Where there's no contemporaneous medical documentation of a work restriction and there's no credible evidence that the claimant was under any work restrictions at the time of the accident, that alone is sufficient grounds for a reversal. Lastly, I just want to touch briefly on the concept of the impact of this decision on the no-fault compensation system. One of the tenets of that system is, of course, the bargain by which claimants give up certain rights in exchange for this no-fault system in which they're entitled to medical and wage loss. And the opinion in this case...
Yellow light signals, you're getting into your...
I'm just going to wrap up. The opinion in this case significantly erodes that no-fault provision by essentially telling the injured worker, you should have known better. So where the Salehi case opened up a little bit of a crack in the door, it's my opinion that this case throws the door wide open. There's really no limit to if you decide a doctor's recommendation can preclude a compensable injury to where that will end. Thank you. I thank the court for their time.
Good morning. May it please the court, Eric Burkhold for the appellees in this case.
If I may, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
Start you off the same question. Is medical recommendations or advice the equivalent of a restriction? And do you have any case that says so?
Yes, Your Honor.
What case is that?
We cited in our brief the Miller-Lumber case.
Miller-Lumber. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm familiar with that.
But I think it depends somewhat on the extent of whether it's just purely advice, such as in the Wong case that Mr. Falcon cited, where there was actually testimony from the physician saying, well, I never gave him any restrictions. Or is the...
Where in this case is there a restriction in any of the medical record? A restriction.
In both the November 29th, 1995 doctor's notes and letter from Dr. Dart, and then also in the... his March 5th, 1999.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember there the doctor saying, you have a restriction, don't walk on uneven ground.
On the March 5th, 1999 note, and this is at appendix at 154, Dr. Dart wrote, we talked about activity level. I think that walking would be fine, but I've advised him to stay off of unlevel terrain.
My doctors advised me to quit drinking.
I want to hear where this is going.
And sometimes I take their advice. But that certainly is not a restriction, is it, to say you ought to be careful walking on uneven ground?
But he told them it's not be careful. He told him, stay off of unlevel ground. And, Your Honor...
Let me follow up on that, if I can, because assuming that that's some kind of a description for the purposes of the question, the evidence in this case seems to me that, you know, he says, I came down the hill, I stepped across the ditch. When I stepped across the ditch, I stepped in soft, sticky mud, and my legs stuck, and I kept going forward. He testified he felt his knee pop when he was attempting to pull his leg out. So it's, you know, I think initially my concern is, and maybe you can satisfy it, is that even assuming he had this restriction to avoid uneven ground, I don't know that you can necessarily avoid, if you don't see the mud hole, and even if you're trying to walk on even grounds, I guess would be my the supposition, and you accidentally stick your foot in a on what you think is hard ground, but it turns out to be quicksand or mud pit or whatever, and then you injure yourself trying to pull it out. Well, first of all, I question whether the injury is a result of the walking in the first place as opposed to pulling it out, which is what he testified to. But second, even if you have that restriction and you're observing it, you would, you know, this injury could occur. And so I wonder what relevance the restriction would have in these circumstances.
Your Honor, I have to, in responding, first of all, had he observed the restriction, he never would have been there in the first place. The injury would not have occurred.
Well, it was part of his job, and, you know.
Well, indeed. He undertook a job working on construction sites that involved unlevel terrain, which is precisely what Dr. Dart had advised him, told him not to do.
We know that this was unlevel terrain. I mean,
he testified to that
clearly,
fact.
Clearly, his leg, it was unlevel in the sense that his leg sank into the mud, so you know, obviously one foot was lower than the other at some point.
I believe that Mr. Staten agreed and testified that the area where he was injured was uneven and unlevel.
Well,
that's appendix
it was
at 52.
And a tree fell on him and killed him. Would your argument be the same?
No, Your Honor, it would not.
That hey, he was walking on unlevel ground, and that was when the tree
fell
on his head?
No, it would not. That would be more akin to the Cridlin case involving the restrictions with regard to it was associated with breast cancer, and the person injured their shoulder.
I think Judge Haley's question is: I heard you say earlier, if it's a but-for analysis, you know, but for him disregarding the restriction, he wouldn't have been there to be injured. I mean, that's just Haley's question. You know, if even though the ground didn't cause, the uneven ground didn't cause the injury.
But it did cause the injury.
It put him in a place where, you know, he could be injured by some other cause. And that, I think, arguably is what we have here. It wasn't the walking across the uneven ground necessarily that caused the injury. According to his testimony, it occurred when he was trying to pull his foot that was out, that was stuck in the mud.
He felt a pop when he was pulling his foot out, but I believe, Your Honor, that what he testified was he stepped into the mud and his leg stayed in his body. He hyperextended
basically
at that point.
Basically, one leg is glued because of the mud.
Indeed. So it's not just a but-for that, well, he wouldn't have been there. He's walking across uneven ground. He comes down off a hill. He crosses over a culvert and steps into mud.
My point is simply that if you just based it on his testimony alone, it isn't the walking on the uneven ground that was the proximate cause of the injury. It was the pulling the leg out of the mud that was the proximate cause.
I think that one of the risks that Dr. Dart was concerned about in his medical records is the condition of the claimant's knee and the arthritic condition, and he had an unstable knee. Therefore, he wanted the claimant to stay away from unlevel surfaces that would put his knee at risk for further injury, and that's what is recited in the medical records, and that's what the commission found.
Hypothetically, let's say I'm employed working construction, street construction. I repair roads, put down asphalt, that sort of thing.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I have this very same restriction. I'm told by my doctor, avoid uneven ground. And I'm out working, you know, working in the streets. It's a level surface. But there's a pothole. And I don't see the pothole, and I step into it, and I injure my leg, just as this gentleman did. Is that a compensable injury?
depend on the
I clearly have injured as a result of the uneven ground. I said, one foot's in the pothole, the other's not, and I'm injured.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the restriction is that I should avoid that. And I didn't intend to step into the pothole, but I did, and it was in the course of my employment. Is that compensable?
It may not be.
Can you give me better than may? Under your analysis, would it be or would it not be?
If you were involved in employment that did not involve being exposed to the risk of unlevel terrain and you inadvertently happened upon a hole and stepped into it, then I don't think you would have violated the doctor's restriction. That is not the factual circumstance that we are presented with in this case. The area where the claimant was working did involve unlevel terrain, and in fact,
your analysis is that the restriction puts him in the place where he could be injured. It doesn't matter if it's the proximate cause of the injury or not.
No, I think it does have to be the proximate cause. I think that the injury sustained has to be the type of injury that the restriction is designed.
When your position is simply a mud hole's on uneven ground.
Well, the whole area is uneven ground, and in fact, the claimant had experienced a situation 6 years previously where he had been out hunting. This is the 2008 incident. He stepped across a tree and stepped into a hole, and injured his knee at that time. This was not the first time that the claimant had stepped into a hole and injured his knee. In fact, going back to the 1994 injury, that also involved stepping into a hole.
Well, if I may, this is what I consider a very serious question. Let us assume, I mean, this court has a responsibility to offer the commission some guidance. This is a very close, tough case. And if we were to hold that medical advice, and the commission doesn't call it a restriction, in their opinion.
They do, Your Honor.
Well,
they alternate.
If we were going to hold that this kind of medical advice or cautioning is the equivalent of a restriction, what advice do we give the commission as to how much medical advice or how serious medical advice rises to a restriction that would preclude recovery? By what standard would we write that opinion? Would we say, you know, three times the doctor told you this, or twice he told you this, or this is one of the priority? I mean, there's got to be a standard where we don't have a doctor say this is a medical restriction. But what standard should we apply to advise the commission?
Your Honor, I'm not sure I have a good answer for that in light of the precedent. There are commission cases, and the Miller-Lumber case is cited in a footnote to the Salehi opinion, where in that circumstance, what the doctor did was he advised the individual not to return to work that would expose them to electric shock. And they did, and they were injured, and that they weren't allowed to recover. In Salehi, there was a lifting restriction that had been in place for some 15 years. Don't lift more than X pounds.
But you know, when people get out of the hospital, or every doctor's office now, you know, they give you a list. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
Is
that going to permit the carrier to peruse the medical record and find some general caution that is somehow related to the accident or injury? And say, hey, wait a minute, you know, Dr. So-and-so told you, you know, don't do this or be cautious about doing this 10 years ago. Is the carrier going to be permitted to peruse and find anything in the medical record and say, hey, look, doctor cautions you about that, therefore it's the equivalent of a restriction?
I suppose that could happen, but in this case, I mean, the commission determined that this was a restriction. First of all, A mere advice, you know.
But by what standard would this court say, okay, here's the standard by which medical advice rises to a restriction?
Directly telling somebody not to do something, such as Dr. Dart did on March the 5th, 1999.
What if other physicians have differing advice? In other words, there's extensive medical records in this case, and some say, for example, I wouldn't permit standing, walking, bending, squatting, or lifting. Others say, shouldn't stand or walk for more than 8 hours each day, but you can stand or sit at your discretion. So you parse the medical records, and they're at a view from 20,000 feet, they're consistent. But when you get into the nitty gritty of the details, they're not. So where does that leave us? Where one doctor says unlevel ground, but the others don't even mention it.
Dr. Dart was the treating physician, is my understanding, Your Honor. And he was the longstanding treating physician for the claimant. He had treated him from the early 80s, really up through 2008. And his admonitions, his warnings were consistent.
That's the way we navigate that, is to say, well, it's a fact finding of the commission, and they ordinarily kind of lift up and give extra weight to the treating physician. That's who Dart was, so that's the.
And I think that's what the commission did here. They made findings of fact with regard to that this was a restriction that had been communicated to the claimant. Your Honor, Your Honors, there are a number of issues really raised by Mr. Falcon on direct, most of which I think we've addressed in the brief that we've had filed. I would suggest to the court that what occurred in our case is entirely consistent with Salehi. We have to remember that the claimant in Salehi also did not expect to injure his back when he violated his lifting restrictions.
So I gather your bottom line is, it is a commission should determine whether medical advice rises to the legal equivalent of a restriction, and that conclusion is a question of fact, you know.
I believe it is, Your Honor.
And that we should honor it if there's evidence to support it.
I suggest that there's abundant credible evidence in the record to support the commission's finding. And so we would respectfully request that the court affirm the full commission's opinion.
All right, thank you.
Very briefly on rebuttal, Your Honors, I wanted to address a couple of the points that Mr. Burke
has. The question I raised?
Yes.
What standard of advice should this court give the commission if they want to reach a conclusion medical advice is a restriction?
That medical advice is not a restriction. That should be that would be the finding of this court, because here's the risk is that what you're saying that the entire world is unlevel terrain, okay? If Mr. Burkholz's argument is taken to the next level, then any potential injury, any potential accident that occurs while a person is placed in that dangerous position is a violation of that restriction. And we know that that's not the case, because that's what the Cridlin case says, that a person that has breast cancer and is given restrictions against re-injuring themselves in that area of the body, a shoulder injury is not a foreseeable consequence of that risk. Here what you have on page 48 of the appendix is the claimant's description of how the injury occurred. When I stepped across the ditch, I stepped in soft sinking mud, and my leg stuck, and I kept going forward. That's what happened. That's what he testified to. That's the basis of the commission's decision. There is no credible evidence that the claimant, his result of his injury, was the result of the violation of those restrictions that were placed upon him by Dart some 20 years before.
Well, isn't the hole filled with mud uneven?
It is. It is. And I'm not going to argue that point because there's no question that it is. But the reality is that he did not intend to step in the mud like Mr. Salehi intended to pick up the overweight package. Credible evidence is not the same as any evidence. What we're looking at here is no restrictions, no admission on the part of the claimant. And in my opinion, the court should reverse the commission and remand to them for further determination. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.